Julian Morrow with you on RN Drive. It's 29 minutes to 7 o'clock, and there is a controversy brewing on the SMS line this evening. We've had a text from Mark in Canberra who claims that Shiver Looking for a Spine to Run Up was directed not at Peter Reith but at Andrew Peacock, and he cites the weighty authority of the banana-shaped book of Keating Insults. So, look, I'm sorry, Rose, but I think at the moment I'm thinking it's a Peacock insult, although it's also very possible that PJK wasn't averse to a bit of recycling the insults himself. All right, time to move on now on RN Drive. And, of course, I'm sure everyone is familiar, at least in principle, with Mike Oldfield's classic album Tubular Bells. It was the first album that kicked off Richard Branson's music empire, Virgin, so it has a lot to answer for. Now, two young guys from the Blue Mountains are making a name for themselves here and overseas with a project that recreates Tubular Bells, the entire thing from start to finish, with just two musicians. It's called Tubular Bells for Two, accurately enough. Earlier in the year, they played at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and they took out the Best Musical Performance Prize, plus third best overall, out of 3,000 acts. And they've also played at festivals around the country in Australia. The creatives behind Tubular Bells for Two are Dan Holdsworth and Aidan, and they joined me in the studio earlier today. Tubular Bells for Two, Danny and Aidan, welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Julian.
Thank you for having us.
No, look, it's great to have you here because I'm fascinated and kind of in awe of the project, which has really taken you around the world. What I want to know to start off with is, what sort of night had you guys had before you came up with the idea of trying to recreate Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells with just two people? That sounds like a wild night to me.
Well, look, if you can call it wild, I suppose it was a Tuesday night, I think, at my place in Glenbrook by the fire with some wine, and I just happened to have Tubular Bells on, and we had a couple of guitars and started mucking around, and one thing led to another, went where it shouldn't have gone. Now look at us.
Was there a moment where you realised that what was just mucking around on a Tuesday night actually had potential to be a live show and that you would actually do the whole thing? I mean, that's a fairly ambitious transition.
It was kind of a gradual process.
Yeah.
It started off, for the fun of it, playing around with two guitars, and we started thinking, okay, let's start to score this out and figure out how just the two guitars we can play, and we kind of got all of the side one happening. And then by the time we got through that, we thought, well, hang on, you know, the beginning of the album's got that famous piano part from The Exorcist. You've got to have that in it. So we jumped on the piano, and then one thing led to another. We had a drum kit and a bass guitar. And anyway, and then the next thing we knew, the whole lounge room was full.
In the course of recreating the whole album, just give us a sense of, what do you two guys do? It sounds like it's pretty frenetic and you're working with lots of instruments each.
There's kind of two elements. One part is a lot of the music is rather mellow, but because there's so much going on between the two of us, you've got to kind of keep your energy levels down a little.
You've got to meditate a bit.
So you're kind of semi-performing the tone of the music, even though you're frantically saying,
yeah, otherwise you get this,
I'm
really
going to do a bell
thing
and then a drum and then a...
So I suppose we've both got... Well, it was dubbed when we played in Melbourne, Tubular Henge. We're kind of surrounded by this, you know, in the middle of a circle of instruments. On stage at the moment, there's about 24 instruments. We keep changing, adding cables,
guitar pedals, two drum kits, two pianos, four keyboards, seven guitars, set of tubular bells,
mandolin,
glockenspiel, two voices, two kazoos.
Because they travel in pairs.
And a bass guitar. Yeah.
All right, so, I mean, I suppose I should ask another threshold question. Were you both Tubular Bells and Mike Oldfield fans when you started this?
No, we were both kind of enjoyed the album, but I wouldn't say we were the biggest Mike Oldfield fans in the world. I think we've since come to
hate
really...
it really passionately.
If I have to play that thing one more time.
You know what's weird is that it is actually... still a joy to play it every time. We always get something different out of it every time.
On RN Drive, we are speaking with Tubular Bells for Two, Danny and Aidan, who've taken on the incredible task of recreating Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells album with just two people. Guys, this as a performance has really taken off for you. Where was the first time you performed it, and how many times have you performed it since?
We started at the Clarendon Guest House in Katoomba, because we're both from the mountains.
Yeah.
And it was just a one-off show. It was on a Good Friday several years ago, and it happened.
What was the audience that night?
It was sold
Stadium
out.
Spectacular?
Well, we were expecting just a few friends and family to show up, but it packed out. I mean, the place holds 100 people. And then, yeah, we did the Sydney Fringe, and then we've done Melbourne and Sydney Festival and Darwin Festival and Edinburgh Fringe Festival most recently, and now we've got some Australian dates, and then we're disappearing to Europe for 6 months.
I mean, in a way, what you've done is really tapped into the cultural affection for the original piece. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself encountering crazy, pedantic fans who pick you up on minor details when you show too much?
Ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
Can you give us some examples without naming names or, you know, having to take out restraining orders?
Well, there was one man who came up to us in Edinburgh and he said, I'd just like to have a chat with you briefly. I am extremely familiar with this music. In fact, I listen to Mike Oldfield's music almost exclusively. And we thought, okay, here we go. But he was actually really. He said, "I think you've. What do you say?" He said, "You've tapped into the soul of Tubular Bells, and that's what's important."
And what about the man himself? Do you have a sense of how Mike Oldfield reacts to your act?
We know that he knows about the show. We've never met him, but we've been told through the various, you know, chains of Mike Oldfield fan clubs and whatever that he endorses the show and likes what we're doing.
He thinks it's cool.
I think he's glad that he doesn't have to play it.
Yeah. Well, because as I understand it, he was incredibly pedantic about the recording of the original. Can you tell us about how the original was recorded and how that compares to your two-man version?
Well, the original, it had two phases, actually. He originally started recording it by building his own multi-track recorder, which wasn't very common in the early 70s. And then he met Richard Branson, and Richard Branson was building a new studio in this manor, which he bought for £40,000 or something, which the money that he borrowed off his aunt.
And
Mike Hoffer went in there and he was doing all downtime overnight, just track by track, layering it up one after the other until he had this thing. And I think it was one of the first, how many tracks is it? 18 tracks or 24
it's
tracks?
24 tracks.
One of the first 24 track recordings.
Yeah. And it's funny, because he was just a kid, you know, and Richard Branson said, "I believe in what you're doing. I'll make it work. Just do it. Just make sure you finish it." So he did, and Branson did an amazing job of marketing the thing, and it was instantly a smash hit.
It's just a shame that Richard Branson hasn't gone on to make much of his life apart from that.
But, that's right.
Yeah. It was all downhill from there.
All right, well, guys, it's a fantastic project. Congratulations on the success it's had. Let's have a listen now to Tubular Bells, done by Two.
Bells.
fantastic sounds of Tubular Bells for Two there. I can just imagine that Mike Oldfield must be kicking himself on all the money he could have saved on session musos if he'd known you back in the 1970s. Danny Holdsworth and Aidan Roberts, thanks very much for joining us on RN Drive.
Well, thanks a lot, Julian.
And if you'd like to see the full spectacular that is, the athletic achievements of it, indeed, of Tubular Bells for Two, they're in Australia 15th of February at the Melbourne Recital Hall, 9th of March at WOM Adelaide on the Saturday night. New Zealand festival's coming up, then Europe in May next year. Off to, well, a whole lot of countries, and I suspect other performances for the term of your natural life. This idea is going to go with you to your grave.
It seems so. Oh, well.
And, of course, if you've got any pedantic queries about Tubular Bells for Two, you can go to the website www.tubularbellsfortwo.com. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate.